So we are coming to the end of this letter, very last few verses. And as we look at these last few verses, specifically verses 21 and 22, I want you to stop and think, not just the end of this letter, but the end of what could be called your letter. And what I'm referring to is your life. One day, we've been reminded even in the prayer requests about the brevity of life. And one day will be our last day. We do not know when that day comes. We do not know how many years we have to live. Or do we have even years? Do we have? Is it days? Is it hours? We do not know. But to stop and think about the end of your life, and then look at it in the big picture, that what do you want to be known by or known for after your life? So people who then will look back in history or in family records or people who knew you, and they will summarize your life somehow. What will they say? What will you be known for? What will be, another way to say it, you know, what will be that one phrase written on your tombstone, maybe, or in the newspaper when it's announced that you have died? What could be a phrase that people will use to describe you? Well, there's obviously many things that, you know, depending on, you know, if it's your co-workers, they might say, oh, he or she was a good worker. Or if it's your family, they will say he or she was a good father, mother, brother, and or so on. But really, deep down, the most essential thing, what would be the kind of a thing that you're known for? What would be a legacy you would want? And I think we have different desires, different plans, and it's easy for every one of us to sometimes lose focus and start focusing too much on things that will not really matter that much at the end of the day. And at the same time, neglect things that relate to the thing that will really matter on that day. So whatever human accomplishments you might think of focusing on, well, he did so and so, she did so and so, whoa, he wrote that book, he did this achievement, he came up with this thing, he had such a prestigious job, he had such and such a degree, whatever, he was really good at this sport, or so and so. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, but those cannot be the focal point. And today, in these two verses, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22, we will meet a very unknown figure. And if I say to you the name Tychicus, and ask Philippus if that's the right pronunciation of a Greek name, but Tychicus, you would probably be like, Tychi, what? Tychi, who? Who's Tychicus? And I have to say, I would probably be also like, okay, Tychicus, maybe I've read that, but I can't say, who is Tychicus? And we meet in these verses, Paul tells us about a man named Tychicus. And we do not know almost anything about him. But we do know the most important thing about him. And that is what I believe that should be a reminder for us, that the same things that are said of Tychicus here, and the kind of man he was, should be the essential same things that we would want to desire us to be known for. And our prayer should be that at the end of the day, whatever other achievements or things I do, may I be remembered by this. And even if I'm just a footnote in history, which, you know, most of us will be, you know, or maybe not even a footnote in history, whatever. Even if no one really knows about my name, if they know about my name, may they say something like this about me. So let me pray and I will read these verses and we'll look at it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are God, that you rule over all. We thank you that you've given your word, that the Holy Spirit has given your word to us through the prophets and the apostles. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul and how you used him to write the letter of Ephesians. We thank you for all that we've been learning for this past year going through Ephesians. And now we come to the very end. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to have minds that receive what we see from your word. And help us to be challenged and reminded about this little part of scripture here that we might easily jump over and think that it's not even significant in any way. Help us to be challenged by the example of Tychicus, that we might be men and women who could be described in a similar way. So we thank you now. We ask your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. This is what Paul writes. He says, "So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." And then Paul says in verse 23 and 24, which we'll look at next time, but I'll read them also. He says, "Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." And I was preparing and I was struggling, should I preach this all in one sermon or in two sermons? And maybe it's part of me kind of having a hard time letting go of Ephesians. We've been in this for a year almost, that it's coming together. It's like, oh, I still want to preach a few messages from Ephesians. But I believe that there's enough here for us to look at these verses 21 and 22, specifically on Tychicus, to be encouraged from that. And there's so much in verse 23 and 24 that I want to preach separately. But we are coming to the very end. So, Paul, after he's written this magnificent letter by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's talked about the greatness of salvation and his deep theology about how God saves sinners. And then he's talked, so verses, or chapters 1 to 3 about theology, then chapters 4 to 6, then about the practice in everyday life. So the theology, 1 to 3, 4 to 6, the practice. Then he gives this final greeting. And we see from this that even though we would be first tempted to say, well, this has nothing to do with me, this was just relevant for the Ephesians, because the Ephesians actually needed this information. Like, we don't need this information that there's a guy called Tychicus who's coming, because there is no guy called Tychicus who's coming here. You know, so we don't know this. We don't need this information in the same way that the Ephesians needed it. But God, when he's given his word, he does not put in just details that don't matter. And Paul, when he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he doesn't put just unnecessary details that will later on be of no relevance. So we will indirectly kind of learn from this a lot. And one thing we see from this is the heart of the Apostle Paul. The heart of the Apostle Paul. Think about it. I remind you where Paul is. As much as clearly as we can know from comparing the kind of biblical timeline in the New Testament, Paul was in Rome in prison, imprisonment, chained to a Roman guard, most likely in a house arrest. So he had to pay the rent for the place, but it was his own prison and there was Roman guards who guarded him and so on. And waiting possible execution because of preaching the gospel. As he said here in previous verses, that the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that's Paul's situation. And we saw last time that he did not ask for prayer for his own comfort or just that he would be released, but he asked for boldness to preach the gospel in that situation, to be bold for Christ. And now we see another aspect of him. So he's concerned that he would be faithful, and that's why he asked for prayer. And then after that, what is his concern? His concern as the prisoner is not focused on himself. He's concerned for the Ephesians, for the Christians that are free. So here's the prisoner is encouraging the free people, so to say. The one who, you would in a human terms, would say, well, he's the one who needs encouragement. He's the one who needs, we need to think about him, and he doesn't need to, like, he's justified in not thinking about our welfare because he has it so rough. Yet, Paul is concerned and he thinks and cares for the Ephesian Christians and Christians at large, because he says this also in the book of Colossians. And why do I say that he's concerned? Well, he's concerned that they are concerned for him and he's concerned for them. The Ephesians Christians loved Paul. Paul was the one who had basically founded their church and taught the leadership of the church. He spent 3 years in Ephesus. And many of them knew him personally, and they loved him, they cared for him. Now they wanted to know how is Paul doing. And Paul wasn't just like, well, I'm the great apostle Paul, you know, whatever. Let them keep on wondering, you know, let them, whatever. He says, no, you care for me, I care for you. And I want you to know what God is, how God is using me here, even in imprisonment. And because of that, he's sending Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister. And every time Paul sends someone, it means that that person, because of being sent, is no longer with Paul. Think about that also. Paul is as a prisoner in Rome and facing difficult situation and hatred from a lot of people, and a lot of people rejected him. It is a great blessing to then have brothers alongside who are able to come and visit you every now and then, encourage you, and to have someone who you can call a dear brother, like Tychicus. So Paul had that, yet he was like, I'm sending Tychicus, and Tychicus would travel to Ephesus to take this letter, and also not just to take this letter, but to encourage them there. But Paul cared for them, and they cared for him. So he says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. So Paul sends him that he might be able to tell them more about his situation. So, who is this Tychicus? Who is he? As I said, you know, we don't almost know anything about him, but we know a few things about him. He's mentioned, apart from this, he's mentioned 4 other times in Scripture. But those times, almost, we don't really know almost anything other, like, they just basically almost mention his name briefly. We'll look at them soon, but you can summarize the things we know about him is that he was from Asia Minor, or like what you would, modern day Turkey. So he was from that, like, Asia, and possibly even from Ephesus. We're not sure, because a friend of his that is mentioned in one of these passages apparently was from Ephesus, so maybe he was also. We don't know. And what we do know, that he was basically a mailman. He was not working for the government as a mailman, but he was a mailman of the New Testament letters. He was the one who carried the letter of Ephesians to Ephesus. He was the one who carried Colossians to the Colossians. He was the one who carried the letter of Philemon to Philemon, and went with Onesimus to Philemon, and maybe even 2 Timothy. But those 3 letters, at least, he carried. He was the one who took them, because there was no internet, there was no postal service. Someone had to go and take it. he was the one who carried those letters. So we could say, we know that he was the apostolic mailman, so to say. And then we know this description that Paul gives here. But that's essentially what we know. We don't know anything more. We don't know anything. What did he accomplish in his life? Did he do some great, you know, human accomplishments that would be like, oh, people would remember me of this, you know? We don't know. The only thing essentially we know is that he carried these letters, and Paul describes him this way, and he was from Asia Minor. Some tradition later on claims that he was maybe the bishop of Chalcedon, but, you know, it's just tradition. We don't have anything in scripture to say the contrary. But let's look at these places where Tychicus is mentioned. And the first place where he's mentioned is the book of Acts. So you can turn there, or you can just listen as I read. But in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 4, this is where we first read about this man, Tychicus. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 4, reads this. Sophater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. This is the first time, and essentially apart from Paul's mention in Ephesians, maybe the most major passage where he's mentioned. And what you notice there, even there, we know that it says from Asia, the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. But we don't know anything about them. But apparently they were chosen to represent their specific churches, and these people that are mentioned here are going with Paul to give a gift, an offering to Jerusalem. They were helping the Christians in Jerusalem, so the churches around the different areas had been giving finances, giving money to help the suffering Christians in Jerusalem. And then Paul and these others went to take that gift to Jerusalem. So Tychicus was one of those men. But again, that's all we know. He was and he went and did this. Nothing flashy said about him. Oh, the great Tychicus. No titles as such. Nothing, you know, like in human terms. It's just a name mentioned on the paper. And most of us, even probably, you know, when we read it, we're like, whatever, some name. No idea who that is, whatever. I guess he was a, you know, it's just a name in a list. Just a footnote in history, so to say. And this is where we first read about him. And then we also see him mentioned in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verse 12. And it's a brief mention again. Paul just says, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And that's it. So we know nothing about him again. We just know that what he's done in the sense that Paul has sent him to Ephesus. He sent him to Ephesus for the purpose of apparently helping Timothy so that Timothy could then come and visit Paul. And in Titus, so the next book, he's also mentioned. In Titus chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, writes to Titus, When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis. And here Paul is saying to Titus, you know, I will send one of these guys, Artemas or Tychicus. One of them will come, and when one of them comes, they will basically take your place, and then you will be able to come to me at Nicopolis. But again, it's just essentially a name who's going somewhere. Nothing fancy mentioned about him. Why do I find it still important that we focus on this character, since we don't know anything about him? I think we have a lot to learn from this, because if we're honest with ourselves, we often seek to be in the limelight. You know, a lot of people want to be the one mentioned, whatever it's a sport, music, or in the church. I want to be the one front and center. I want people to know about me. I want people to look at me. I want to be known for achieving something great. I want to be known. Oftentimes it's then harder, those things that are behind the scenes that no one really knows about, it's harder for people to do that stuff, so to say. And I've heard this, I don't know anything about classical music, I enjoy listening to it in the background, but apparently, especially enough, if you have a band with all kind of instruments, you know, the first person who plays the contrabass or the violin, the person will be like, oh yeah, I'll be the one, I'll play the first violin, you know? But then apparently often you need the second violin, and the second violin is not that very important. It's just basically there to, I think, just kind of support the first violin. Not a lot of people are excited to be the second violin. The first one, okay, I'll come. The second one, okay, you already got, I'm just the support, you know, okay. Yeah, you know? And I understand that, and I think we all understand that to a degree. But at the same time, whether it's in music or something else, the second violin is usually needed. And when we're talking about serving Christ, whatever form it comes in, whether it is the first violin, you need the first violin, also you need the second violin, or whatever aspect, you need those. And we should have the kind of attitude that Tychicus apparently had, that he was a servant. And he did not think of it lowly, that, oh, I'm just the guy who takes the letter. Okay, you know, give me something more, I don't know. Let me do something that will be a little bit more flashy, you know. I want to be like you, Paul. I want to be writing the letters. You know, I want to be the apostle. I want to be a preacher. I want to, you know, seriously, I'm just going to take the letter. You know, it's going to be a long journey, and I don't know. And no one's going to really even know who I am. My name is just going to be mentioned a few times, and that's it. But we should be men and women who desire to be like this, and our chief desire would be that, would it be so that in the future people could refer to me as a beloved brother or beloved sister and faithful minister in the Lord, faithful servant in the Lord. And that's it. That's it. Another way of saying that is when Jesus speaks in Matthew 25, verse 23, Jesus gives this parable of the 10 talents. Matthew 25, verse 23. He says these well-known words that often are referred. So in this parable, the master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Well done, good and faithful servant. That's essentially another way of saying the same thing. Tychicus was described as a beloved brother and faithful minister, faithful servant in the Lord. And that our chief concern in life, whatever other achievements we might do and whatever great they might be, that may it be said of me that I was a beloved brother or a beloved sister and a faithful servant. That's it. Even if no one will know about me, even if I will never have any notoriety in anything, whatever it's sports, music, or church, or I don't care what it is, but it can be said about me, truly, truly said about me, that I was a faithful servant. And not just that people would say that about me, but that Christ, who is my Lord, when I see Him, He will say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." I believe Christ has said those words to Tychicus, you know, when he died. And our concern should be like him, that it might be said about us. But notice also what Paul says specifically before he says about the faithful servant. He says, "Beloved brother." Paul loved Tychicus. He says, "Beloved brother." And brother, you know, he's here, he's a fellow Christian, one who believes in Christ, of course. "Beloved brother, do you love other believers? And would other believers call you beloved?" I know we don't use that in language nowadays. It's kind of weird. Beloved, or if England, you know, "Oh, beloved, so and so," it kind of means different. But generally speaking, do you love other believers? And do you serve, seek to be a blessing to other believers? And would other believers, when they think about you, say, "Oh, my beloved brother, my beloved sister," because they have love toward you? And why do they have love toward you? Because they've seen your faithfulness, that you've been a blessing in their life. You've served them, you helped them, and they've helped you. Beloved brother. Tychicus was a faithful, loyal servant of Christ. As a mailman, taking letters from one place to another. And it's not about what specifically he did, but it is. And there's many other people. When you read the New Testament, you know, there are these names that jump out. Even there earlier, when we read in Acts 20, there were all those other names. There's these names we don't know anything about. You know, we know, oh, Paul, we know Timothy, or, you know, Titus, but there's all these names that sometimes creep up, some of them just one time, and it's like, we have no idea. But it should remind us that behind the scenes, it was not just about Paul, it was not just about the apostles, there were faithful Christians in different aspects and different situations, faithful men, faithful women, who did different things. And if they were truly faithful, they were willing to do whatever it needed to be done in that sense. They were more than glad to play second violin for Christ, you know, to use that metaphor. Or whatever it is that we think is like, oh, that's not that flashy. You know, it's like, oh, you know. Because they knew that they were serving Christ. And that's the thing that ultimately is the only thing that matters. So Tychicus would then take, after, you know, Paul has written this letter of Ephesians, and we don't know this for sure, but it might even be that Paul, Tychicus was the one who wrote it. Not came up with the idea, but wrote it, because Paul used scribes. So some Bible commentators theorize that since Tychicus was the one who took the letter, maybe he was even helping Paul write the letter, which is very possible. We don't know for sure. But he would then take this letter and travel to Ephesus from Rome. And then most likely he, or unless there was some of the church elders in Ephesus, they would read this letter. Then they would have, of course, questions. They would read the letter and it's like, what does he say there? And some of them, they might ask, oh, what does he mean? What does he mean with that? What is he referring to that? So Tychicus, he's the one who was with Paul when Paul wrote the letter, maybe even helped him write himself. So Tychicus would then probably be the first preacher, to so to say, not preacher, but like to explain the letter of Ephesians, because he's the one bringing it. And then there's like, okay, so teacher, what does Paul mean with this? I was like, well, when Paul was, you know, he meant this, and that's what he's referring to. Like, look there earlier in the letter, you see how he's connecting that, blah blah blah. So he probably explained the letter also, and he will tell you everything. That's what Paul says. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything about how Paul is doing, what the situation is, and also most likely they'll have some kind of questions about the letter and what they've just learned from reading this letter. And he would do that. Then Paul goes on to say, I have sent him to you for this very purpose. Here he clarifies even more. Why did Paul send him? Why did he think it important to send this brother who was an encouragement to him and a help to him in Rome? Why did he see it important to send him away to Ephesus? That you may know how we are, because they wanted to know how Paul and the others who were connected to Paul there in Rome, how they are doing. They were concerned about him. And that he may encourage your hearts, or that he may comfort your hearts. The word encourage, comfort, or come alongside someone. Paul, as the prisoner waiting possible execution, is concerned for the Ephesian believers that they would be encouraged in their heart. And he sends Tychicus away from him to them, that he might encourage them, that he might comfort them. Tychicus, he was less concerned about himself and more concerned about others. That's why Paul calls him a faithful minister, a faithful servant. The word minister, diaconus, servant, carrier, assistant. Faithful servant in the Lord. And he was concerned also, as Paul had sent him, that his purpose was to encourage other believers. Do you do that? Do you do that? Do you seek to be intentionally doing that? Do you think about what a blessing you can be in other people's lives? In smaller things, do you seek to encourage other believers? We should, and we're called to do. And we do encourage one another, and often we don't even, you know, realize. Someone might later say, you know, that thing you told me that once, you know, in that whatever quick conversation, that really encouraged me, you know, I was going through a hard time or whatever. Encourage your heart. Paul was concerned for others, even when he is in prison. And that's what Tychicus was concerned for. He was not seeking to serve himself, but he was seeking to serve Christ. He was a faithful servant in the Lord. And because he was a faithful servant, he would do whatever he could do and needed doing. It's like, you want me to play second violin or fifth violin or tenth violin? If the tenth violin is needed, I'll play the tenth violin. If you need me to take letters, I'll take the letters. I'll tell them. I'll encourage them. I can do that. And this is what he did. And how would he then? How would in actual practice? How would he encourage their hearts? How can we encourage one another? Well, the chief way comes in the very fact that he came with the letter. He came bringing the letter of Ephesians. So the very fact that he shows up in Ephesus and is like, hello, dear Ephesians. This is the letter from Paul to you. That would be great, great encouragement and comfort. And they'll be like, well, let's read it. And whether it's him who read it out or someone else read it, but they would read it. And the fact that he came with that would encourage them. We see from that fact also that when we encourage one another, it's not just about like, oh, you know, you're some kind of robot that quotes Bible verses at the right appropriate moment. But the true encouragement that truly encourages us needs to be rooted in biblical truth. Truth about who God is, what He has done, His promises, who we are, and so forth. Those kind of things that Paul has been writing in Ephesians. Remember, he begins the whole letter with talking three chapters, specifically the first two chapters, about the theology of salvation. God the Father has chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. God's predestination, which is an unpopular topic amongst Christians still today. That, yes, that's what Paul begins in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Then he talks about how in Christ we have the redemption through His blood, and talks about the work of the Holy Spirit who's opened our eyes and sealed us with the promised Holy Spirit. That's encouraging. That should be encouraging. For Paul to remind them of these things and for them to comprehend these things is truly encouraging, truly comforting. The greatness of God in salvation. So they would read that letter and as I said, possibly, we don't know for sure, but possibly he would add some additional comments maybe. Not necessarily clearly as a preacher, we don't know, but they might then ask, well, what does Paul mean with these things? And then he would be there. Well, I was like, well, I was with Paul and I heard Paul discuss these things, and he was discussing these things with me. And so notice here in the text what Paul says, and by kind of opening up the text, which is what a faithful preacher should do, open up the text of the Word of God, he was encouraging their hearts. And then he would, of course, tell specific things about Paul and his situation and how God is using Paul, and that would encourage and comfort their hearts. We've seen in Philippians, before starting Ephesians, I preached through Philippians, but if you remember, in Philippians, which Paul also wrote in the same situation in Rome, he mentions that how his imprisonment is being used by God to bring salvation to people within the Roman guard, the Caesar's palace, Caesar's household. Now he's using that. So things like that, most likely Tychicus would tell them, like, you know what? And he would probably give specific examples, like, I was with Paul, you know, whatever, 3 weeks ago, and we were there, and then this guy came, and Paul was preaching the gospel, and blah, blah, and he got converted. You know, we don't, of course, know those details, but probably some of these things he would share, these specific details, like Paul said here in verse 21, how I am and what I am doing. He would encourage them with those kind of details about how God is using Paul's suffering and imprisonment for the furtherance of the gospel. And one specific thing that we do know that Tychicus was aware of, and Tychicus most likely would have shared with the Ephesians, but we know that he was the one who took the letter of Philemon, as I mentioned earlier. Philemon is one of these little books in the New Testament. And you might be like, oh, Philemon is somewhere there. I've read it. I've heard about it. But it's a very short letter in the New Testament before the book of Hebrews and after Titus. But Philemon is one of the letters that Tychicus took to Philemon. Paul wrote Philemon, and as the book is called Philemon, it is written to Philemon. So most of the letters in the New Testament were written to churches, like the church in Ephesus, Philippi, or so forth. Philemon was one of those letters that was written to an individual. And this is one, we see a little bit of a snapshot of one of the specific details of how God was using Paul in his imprisonment, in his time in Rome. And I won't preach all Philemon now, but just a brief overview. The letter of Philemon is basically, the situation is this, that Paul is in Rome, and in Rome, during his imprisonment, somehow, somewhere, he comes across this guy called Onesimus. And Onesimus is a runaway slave. So he was a slave to a man called Philemon. And he ran away. He left, which was a crime, you know, punishable by, you know, the master of this slave who was Onesimus. You know, in that system, Roman law and stuff, he could be greatly, you know, punished and so forth. So Onesimus ran away from his master, and that's a whole different topic, all about slavery. You know, I won't preach all about that now. But the point is that he then goes to Rome, Onesimus, and during his time in Rome, he meets Paul. Somehow, somewhere, hears the gospel, and God uses the word of the gospel to open the eyes of Onesimus, and Onesimus becomes a believer. He's converted. He's changed. He turns from his sin to Christ. And Onesimus himself realizes that he has done wrong against his boss, his master, Onesimus, Philemon. And apparently Philemon was a believer. And Paul knew him. So Paul then writes this letter to Philemon and saying, here's a letter to you, Philemon, and here is Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. So Paul is Onesimus' spiritual father. And with Philemon and with the letter, Paul sends Tychicus. Tychicus. Tychicus was willing to do what it took. However he could serve with his talents, with his in his situation, he was willing to do this. And think about this again. You might think that, oh, okay, I'll take the letter to Ephesians because probably I'll be able to read it out loud to the church. I might even kind of be able to preach it. So it's like, okay, that's a good job. But this letter to Philemon, that's just some guy somewhere. You know, there's not going to be any audience. No one will know. Nothing. This is one of those very, very clearly second violin, tenth violin jobs. I'm just, you know, like, well, I need to go there. It's like, no, he did it joyfully. It's like, okay, I'll go. I'll go with Onesimus. I'll take the letter and I'll be there to encourage Onesimus who's scared. What will my master Philemon do to me? I've done wrong against him, and by law he's justified in you know, treating me and punishing me, all that. And he's like, I've done wrong, and so Tychicus comes as a brother alongside him. He's like, okay, I'll take the letter. Paul sends him to be there. So that's one of the ways God used Paul in his imprisonment. A runaway slave who comes to Rome, becomes a believer, and now wants to, he's repenting of his sin, and he now wants to go back and serve his brother. That's what Paul says in Philemon. You know, your brothers now. You know, don't you Philemon treat him anyway unjustly, and don't you Onesimus somehow treat your brothers. You know, serve one another. You help one another. That's what Paul was used by God to bring the gospel, the salvation to many. And we don't know. We don't know all the details, the ins and outs. Tychicus knew. And he would tell these things, I'm sure, to the Ephesians. And he would encourage their hearts. We should be encouraged when we hear things. Even if people we don't know, you know, whether it's churches we have connections to, or when we hear people, oh, you know, so-and-so person turned to Christ, or so-and-so, you know, God used you know, Pastor who? Pastor Kyle, Pastor Tom, Pastor whoever, in his ministry. Oh, we heard of this thing that's happening in his ministry, how God is using them in that situation. That should encourage our hearts. We should have enough love toward other believers, care for other believers, that when we hear what God is doing and using, we'd be encouraged by hearing that. And we should be seeking to be men and women like Tychicus and to come alongside others. That's what the word encourage means, to encourage or comfort. Literally, the idea is to someone to come alongside you. So if I'm walking the road, and it's a hard road I'm walking, and someone comes next to me, and if I'm even, you know, struggling, like maybe my leg is broken, and this other person comes alongside me, and maybe it's like, okay, Miska, let me help you, you know, let's walk this together. That's what it means to encourage someone. That's what it means to comfort someone. To come alongside, to remind them of biblical truth, remind them of what God is doing in the lives of other people, remind them of the promises of God. This is the kind of man we see displayed in these two kind of insignificant verses to some way. You know, we used to just, okay, there was some guy called Tychicus, whatever, big deal. But it is a big deal, and it should remind us to want to be like him. So one day you will die. One day you will die, unless you're alive when Christ comes back. We don't know when Christ comes back. One day you will die. What will be your legacy? What will be the summary of your life? You know, if they put something on your gravestone, and I know people put on gravestones all kind of things, probably which are not even true. No one puts anything like a miserable man who never did anything good. You know, there will always be some kind of good written on gravestones or things like that. But what will people say about you? What will Christ say about you truly? What will really matter? Will it matter that your name is mentioned in whatever achievement? Or that you were such and such a great thing in whatever such and such a thing? No, that will not. That will not really matter at the end of the day. It's like, okay, whatever. But what will matter, and what you should be concerned about, is that this could be said about you to the last, you know, last day that you live. That people could say, the beloved brother and faithful servant of Christ. We don't even need to know that much more what he was faithful in. It's irrelevant if he played the first violin or a tenth violin, or if he was a preacher, if he was a mailman, if he was he or she, whatever, whatever he did. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. But what is relevant is that these things could be said about you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. And we need to be reminded of that. As I said, it's so easy. And everyone has slightly different ideas probably and different you know, visions and achievements, and I'm sure it's good. We should have those. And if they're godly desires, good, go ahead. You know, whatever, you know, that's good. But this should never come at the expense of this truly important summary of your life being somehow diminished. Because it is easy to be remembered by whatever, something, and at the same time not be described by these really important things, that you were faithful to Christ in whatever situation you found yourself, that you were faithful to him, and to seek to serve him, and to seek to serve others, to care for others. That's what Paul sought to do. That's why he was in prison. That's why he cared for believers. That's why he prayed for them. That's why he sent people to take care of them, to encourage them. And that's what Tychicus was concerned about. And because Tychicus, for many, many years, and remember that also, Paul had had many people who come and go. Many people deserted him. Many people left him. Especially when you read, you know, 2 Timothy also, you know, which is his last letter, and you see how many people have left Paul. But Tychicus was one of those unsung heroes of the faith that we almost know nothing about, yet he's one of those heroes that stands out as a reminder to us of what we should be concerned about. Whatever we find ourselves in, whatever situation we find ourselves in. And that's why Paul had such great affection toward his brother. My beloved brother, my dearly loved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, faithful servant in the Lord. So may that be a reminder for us. Think about your own tombstone, if I can put it so graphically. Think about your own tombstone. What will it say? What will it say? What will people remember you by? What will people describe you by? Not just after your death, but even now. Tychicus was alive then. What will they describe you as? May it be something like these words that were used by Paul to this unsung hero of the faith who was not in the limelight. And some people are then in the limelight. You know, Paul was obviously more well known. And we need these different parts. But in whatever part we are, we should seek to be faithful to Christ in that. Well, then Paul gives the kind of final greeting, and we'll look at that next week, how he talks about peace and grace and the love that we have toward Christ. But let me pray as we end. Our Father, you've given us our life, and our days are numbered. Our hours, our minutes are numbered. We do not know when will be the last day, when will be the last year, when will be the last hour or last minute of our life. We have not been even promised tomorrow. Lord, help us to live this life, to be concerned about serving you in whatever aspect of life we find ourselves in. Whatever our work situation, our studies, our home life, our everything in the church with other people, help us in all of it to seek to serve you and to serve one another. Help us to fight against the tendency that's so easily in each and every one of us of selfishness and self-importance and self-focus, this and that. Lord, help us to be more like Paul, who was willing to be a prisoner for the gospel, and was willing to be faithful to the gospel, even when it meant very great difficulty toward himself, and many people deserted him. Help us to be like Tychicus, who we know nothing almost about, yet we know that he was faithful. He was faithful in what you had called him to do. And he was more concerned about others than himself. Lord, forgive us of our selfishness. Help us to love Christ more and more. Help us to be men and women who are described by loving Christ with an incorruptible love, as we see in the following verses. And we pray that we would be men and women, that whatever our achievements and things in life and what people might remember us by or describe us at this moment, that the most important thing would be that we could be described as beloved brothers and sisters and faithful servants in the Lord, faithfully serving in whatever situation you have placed us. that all of our life would be done as an act of worship to you. We thank you, Lord. Help us to have this reminder in our thoughts and to count our days and realize that one day will be our last. And we ask that we might live a faithful life by the power of the Holy Spirit. You would enable us to live and walk faithfully. Help us to turn away from sin and temptation and all that is wrong, and to trust in Christ and to bring Him honor and glory, and to encourage one another in that faith. We thank you now for this time we have had together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.